Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we've got a couple more Oscar-nominated films for you. We're talking about Another Round and Pieces of a Woman.
Yes, Another Round is nominated for Best International Film, Best Foreign Film, right? And then Best Director?
Yep.
And then Pieces of a Woman, Vanessa Kirby is nominated for Best Actress. In a lead role.
Yep.
Correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So these movies, you know, they don't really have anything to do with each other, but we're sticking them together because we're getting through this. We only have a few more movies to talk about before our Oscar podcast. So.
Yes. Which we are, I recently counted and I believe I've watched like 17 movies in the past like week and a half.
Oh my god, Emily.
and I'm not even counting like all of the, I mean, this has been going on for more than just like 2 weeks. I mean, we were kind of gearing up for this like 3 weeks ago, and there was just a week where I watched as many short films as I could.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to sprinkle them in. You watched them all at once. I watch them like kind of just around the movies. Like, because I'm like, oh, I got 20 minutes.
It's because they were the movies I felt less bad about watching while I was at work.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not proud to admit that I was watching these while I was working. But I'm trying to just get them done so that they can be done. This is the last week. And I've watched so many in the beginning that I'm not having to watch any while I'm at work.
That's good. So, it really is.
So this is good.
But so let's talk about Another Round because that is in another language. It's from Denmark, so it's in Danish.
Yes.
You have to watch these movies that take place in another language. You can't really look away because you don't understand what's happening if you're not watching subtitles. So,
nope. And we got our favorite dude here, Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Such a cutie pie.
I know, he's so cute. I half didn't believe that he was such a depressed like father and sad depressed father in this because I was like, he's so fit and happy, like I don't understand. You know, it's like seeing these,
yeah, and
these
there were
fit Danish people, you're like, how are you so depressed? You're not even fat.
Well, I mean, they showed us how they were feeling. I mean, mm-hmm. Mads character Martin was feeling like, you know, he wasn't happy with teaching. You know, he really wasn't. He just wasn't happy with his situation. You know, he'd go into work. He'd kind of teach. He wasn't being a good teacher. Like he was lifeless.
He had no passion.
Yeah, he was lifeless. He wasn't making teaching fun.
No.
And also like his home life wasn't very good either. Like his wife was working a lot at night, and he just really didn't see her. And he was just kind of doing the motions, moving through life, and he just mm-hmm. was feeling like he was in a rut.
His midlife slump.
Right, exactly. And you know, he thinks he's become boring. Like, you know, he thinks back about when he was younger and, you know, how much crazy shit he'd get into, and he's just like, who am I now? Like, am I just this boring dude?
I like the way that the beginning of this movie started because it was just like a whole romp with all of the high school kids and their weekend, you know,
Lake race or something.
Yeah, like getting super, super drunk, like binge drinking, which I think is the title of the Danish like translation is binge drinking.
Oh, okay.
Where another round is the English title, and I think it matches it a lot better than the title binge drinking does. Just like the tone of the movie.
Yeah, I think Another Round definitely matches the tone of the movie a lot better. That's really interesting, 'cause yeah, this would have been like a super different feeling movie if it was called Binge Drinking.
Yeah, like that's so party oriented and
Yeah, and this really wasn't about that. I mean,
no.
it was a very like it was if like when I was reading kind of about like the little genres at the beginning of the movie where it was like, oh, it's heartfelt,
Yeah.
it's a fun
Comedy.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like the way Hulu described it. I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna be, a fun movie. And it was at some points, but then, it got to be sad because of things. But I really liked the premise, how the psychology teacher like wanted them to do this study of are you better having like a little bit of alcohol in you to just kind of like relax you so you can kind of, I don't know, come out of your shell and be happier.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
then kind of like how this stuff, how it kind of escalated to be quite negative and
Yeah, I think you like kind of predicted
problematic.
that from the beginning. Like, you knew that this was not gonna be a good idea. Like, you know that, like, going from having a little bit of alcohol and wanting more and more alcohol. Like anybody who's ever had alcohol knows that once you start drinking, you kind of like have to tell yourself like, okay, I'm not gonna have another one, or like, but you want to, you know, like there's always the drive to continue drinking and to get more and more drunk, right? Like that's kind of like something that everybody has to like push down in a way, you know?
Well, yeah, and then that kind of like 180 that happens in the middle of the film where they meet up after, a situation happened or something, and the psychology teacher is saying, maybe we should try and for the sake of the experiment, go over the edge and have a blackout basically, or just be completely incoherent.
What it wasn't ever that clear, like why it was kind of like
No,
you
it
know,
wasn't.
like they
Because for
were
the exact
really,
same, I
really
thought he was
bored.
bringing that up to tell them to stop
You're
and like
right. Like we're done now after
and
this.
they even said that. They're like, "Oh, do you want us to stop?" And he's like, "No, I want us to go further." But maybe that could have been maybe the slight alcoholism already starting. Like
Definitely.
we should
Yeah.
just binge.
Well, the unhappiness was like pervading through, you know, like it wasn't like the alcohol. Like, I really like this movie because it really makes you, there's a lot of time and it's a really kind of slow-paced movie. It really allows you to think about your own alcohol habits and just kind of assessing the reason for having alcohol and like, why do you have, when do you have alcohol in your life? Why? How much do you have? Does it actually increase your happiness? Does it actually, you know, make you feel good just drinking every night or drinking sometimes? Like, you know, and it definitely, to me, was like when you're watching it, you're kind of condemning them for making these choices, but then you're like, but then they just like go back to drinking in the very end because this is the culture. So it's like it's condemning the culture, but it's also like promoting the fact that alcohol can actually make you really happy sometimes. And it's just like such an interesting, like not black and white way of looking at it, you know?
Yeah, but okay. So when they first brought up the study, I thought it sounded like a decent idea, like a smart idea. Probably not for these men specifically because they all had reasons to be kind of depressed or not happy with their current situation, and drinking probably turned into a crutch for them.
Definitely, yeah.
Almost like a mask to hide how sad they were. If you were
Yeah,
legit a
definitely.
happy person
Yeah.
and maybe had high stress and just needed to relax sometimes, like much like maybe even medicinal marijuana or, you know, recreational, like whatever, if you just need something to de-stress. Mm-hmm. Like, this sounded like a decent idea to me. I was like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely feel, mm-hmm. I definitely don't drink often. For me, it's more of like, this is a special occasion. I would like to have a drink tonight.
Yeah.
That is how I've always been. And as of right now, the only time I will probably drink quite a bit is on Oscar night. And I plan to get very toasted on Oscar night.
Okay.
Cause it's a celebration. It's an event and it'll make it more fun. But no, honestly, I have one slightly strong drink and I'm tired.
Yeah. I'm a little tired right now cause I've had a few glasses of red wine. So I'm a little bit like,
yeah, wine.
Yeah. Wine makes me tired.
It makes me sleepy.
And I'm really tired today. I've been tired all day and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do a podcast, better have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, I think, like I said, like it makes you see the movie differently. I think everybody who watches this movie is going to have a different perspective on the characters and their choices because of their own personal drinking habits. Like, I think it really, like, the way that you see it is it depends on who you are as a person, and that's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a blank slate of a movie.
Yeah, I wish we had kind of gotten a look into, which we kind of did, but I think there was one character we probably didn't get too much of a look at their background, was the music teacher. Mm-hmm. But what we did see was him kind of helping a student who had been through the same grade a couple of times.
Yep.
And he really just wanted to graduate, and he was getting super stressed out and scared, mm-hmm. about finals coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, you know, how about you take a swig or two before your test, you know, to relax your nerves. And it ended up helping him.
Yeah, but like that so could have, like, gone, it's like not the right direction.
So
you
bad.
Know, you know, like I think about it, it's like the way that the, like, because this is a film that takes place in Denmark, it's like there's the drinking culture is that pretty much kids of any age can drink. I mean, they, you know, like these are teenagers that are drinking in this movie, not like, you know, kids in college. These are kids who are like 18,
high,
yeah, 17, 18 years, yeah. old, right? So it's like they're not, yeah, they're in high school and it's okay to drink in high school, but then they're like expected to be these crazy buffoons. But yeah, like it is really interesting. And then, but of course, they're not supposed to drink in school. Like the kids aren't supposed to drink in school. The teacher's not supposed to drink in school. And like the you know, the lead professor, whatever, she was like, I heard somebody's been drinking, you know, like you guys can't do that. It's illegal. You know, you're not supposed to drink alcohol here. It's a school. It's like,
yeah,
you're not supposed to do that. Like it's not good.
In their profession and in this and in their personal life circumstances, they should not have been doing this study. Like,
no.
even for study's sake. Like,
it was very irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, who knows if it was the alcohol or if it was, like, the stern talking to that Martin had gotten from the parents. Like, you need to teach our kids better so that they can pass your damn tests. That could have made him better.
But
I mean,
it didn't push him. Like, the only thing that was getting him was, like, you know what I didn't see in this movie too much? Like, of course, they had that binge drinking night, and it was really embarrassing for him. And, you know, because our main character is Mads Mikkelsen, and he comes home drunk, and his kids see him really, really drunk, and his wife...
And, like, beat up or something. Like, I don't know what happened.
He, like, fell, I guess, and, like, hurt his head. And he tried to get into the wrong house, you know, because he was really, really drunk. And then also the other guy, his friend too, who the psychology teacher, who made up the whole thing. He was like, he came home and stumbled into bed and he like pissed the bed. And then his wife was like, oh my God, like get out of my house. You know, she was so mad at him. She had like no grace for him at that point, because they had been drunk before, I guess, and it just was like, it just was unforgivable at that point.
Yeah, it was definitely a pattern that everyone was catching on to, because like even the next morning, Martin's wife was like, you know, you like explain to the boys what you did.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you know, I got drunk. And they're like, well, haven't you been doing this for a while? And he's like, I guess everyone knows. It's like, yeah, everybody knows. Everyone knows what you're doing.
Yeah. But like, that was the only kind of like downside to their drinking. And I mean, of course, that's a big downside, but like, they weren't really ever hungover as far as I could tell. Like, it was kind of like, they never really like had the negative effects of like having a lot of alcohol, which is like, for me, I feel like horrible. Like, I feel like shit, you know, if I drink too much. And I like, you could oh, kind yeah, of sure. see it, but it was just like a little bit, it wasn't as clear that like the negative effects were outweighing the positive effects until it affected the family. And then it was clear that they're alcoholics. I mean, when you're drinking so much that it affects other people and everything, like if you can't function, then you are an alcoholic. Like that's what it is, you know? So it's just like,
yeah,
seeing it and kind of assessing that in terms of like Martin's life. It was interesting.
Yeah, seeing what it does to the family and then actually physically seeing what it did to one of the guys, which was mm-hmm. he died.
Yeah, I think he just like kind of committed suicide. Like, I think he like...
Possibly.
Went out. It wasn't clear that he... But he had gone out... Yeah, he like
went out on his boat with his dog. And then the next thing we knew, he was dead. So like, not sure if he fell out of the boat yeah. and drowned or he overconsumed and like just died in the boat. Like I had no clue what happened there. It was definitely sad to kind of see the study kind of help them all, but then very quickly go the other direction, go back downhill.
It's interesting because like you said, like all of the kind of commentary on this is that it's like a really like it's like a fun movie. On this cover I'm seeing on IMDb, this I think it's a Spanish the Spanish cover for this that has a little like quote on it. It says "Una celebración de la vida del amor." Which is, you know, a celebration of life and love. And I guess that's kind of what this movie is about. It's just interesting that that's like the quote that they like, it's a celebration of drinking in a way for a lot of people in this movie. And like, for me, I think you kind of just like, you're seeing the downsides as well as the celebration of drinking, because I mean, there was like a celebration of drinking in this movie too. And it wasn't just the horrible stuff. It was also the joy of drinking too.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would go as far to say that this is like a feel good, like happy movie. Because no. Honestly, that is what Hulu made it sound like. They're like, oh
yeah,
happy fun movie. I'm like, it is not. It's absolutely it's pretty not.
Serious. You know, alcoholism
it's
is like
very serious.
It's a big deal. Like, you got to be paying attention to your alcohol consumption. Anyway, I thought that they were, and then I almost like.
And then the very end, like after the coach died and you know, they're making kids. A toast to him
yeah.
somewhere, like yeah. afterward. Yeah. After I'm like, why are you guys drinking? Like
it didn't make any,
I was,
yeah,
like, kind
it
of was, upset.
It was pushing it because like, it was pretty clear that the alcoholism, like obviously, like really what it was this guy was sad already. And the alcoholism kind of pushed him over the edge. You know, it was like,
yeah.
So I guess like in that terms, they were like drinking to remember him. But like, I don't think they really see drinking in the same way. Like, I think it is kind of the culture. Like, I think
this movie can definitely be portraying drinking in another kind of light, where in, I don't know, the U.S. it's like it's scorned, you're judged, yeah, you're
it's
you're,
pretty it's black the, it's and the white, cause of, you know,
it's the cause of so many like DUI deaths, and
exactly,
and
yeah.
you're like a nobody loser if you drink too much, like that's kind of what it's like.
But in Europe, it's just different. Like, they just don't. It's just such a different kind of view on the culture. That's why this movie was, like, so great. I mean, I just feel like you could not make it in America. It just would not work. The culture is very, very different here when it comes to drinking and even binge drinking.
Yeah.
And I I like, you know, and I'm not praising Europe for the fact that the way that they think about alcohol is a lot more lax. But it is the way that it is. And like in America, it's just a bit more black and white. It's a bit more puritanical. The way that we see binge drinking, the way that we see things is a little bit different. So watching this movie as an American, I get it. It's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see how them drinking at the end was a celebration of their friend, and then also just them just being generally happy. They ran into their graduates who all toasted them, and they danced together, and his wife, Martin's wife, had texted him kind of saying like, you know, I miss you a lot. Maybe we can
Yeah.
try and,
Get
you
back
know,
together.
work this out. And then he was happy. So he was drinking just because he was happy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the dance moves he was doing at the end, it was
Was
like
crazy.
the I mean, it
So
just
good.
I mean, I bet he was really sore after that. Like, let's be
Oh, I
honest,
bet.
he was flipping all over the place.
Mads was moving.
Oh,
Like he
yeah.
was.
Oh, the core
I was like,
strength.
oh,
I
take it
mean,
easy. Take it easy, Mads.
it
Take
was
it easy. You'll
great.
throw out your hip.
He was, I mean, he is just such a great actor. I'm so glad that he was kind of in this role that, I mean, I've never seen him in a role like this. So it was.
No, and I think he did it. I think he did a fabulous job.
Yeah, the director, Thomas Vinterberg, got, he had made another movie with Mads more recently called The Hunt, which I think is a
Oh,
little
okay.
bit, I think it also, people were referencing it in some of the reviews I was reading because it's kind of got a more, let's see, I think it's kind of like also interesting, like watching a man's life do something, but it's
Okay,
a
it's
little
from
bit
2012.
it's a bit more serious.
Okay.
But more realistic is what I'm saying, like kind of like realism, you know, which is like what
Okay.
this movie, like very realism-esque.
Yeah, definitely.
It's crazy he got a best director nomination. I'm sure he was very excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. This was a really good movie. I really
Yeah.
liked it.
Yeah, it definitely was fun. I love watching foreign films. I've not seen too many Danish films except for like The Danish Girl, also with Mads Mikkelsen. If anybody out there has not seen The Danish Girl, you gotta watch that movie. It is one of the best romantic period dramas out there. Do
The
you remember that one?
Danish Girl.
The one
Yeah,
with
is
Alicia
that with.
Vikander.
Yeah.
It is
Yeah, and Eddie
so
Redmayne.
good. No. That's sorry.
No. Oh,
Not. Oh,
another one.
you know what? I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. It's not called The Danish Girl. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm so
oh,
tired.
no,
A Royal
the one you showed
Affair.
me.
A Royal
Yeah,
Affair.
that one.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. I'm so sorry.
That was a good one.
It was so fucking good. Alicia Vikander, Mads Mikkelsen. That was my first like introduction to Mads Mikkelsen. I mean, incredible
It was
movie.
really good. Yeah.
It's really good. So yeah. Let's see what these.
Let's look at these plot keywords. We've got heavy drinking, teacher, Scandinavian graduation cap, and beer.
They were like little boating
What?
caps. Remember they were wearing them at the
Yeah, they look like little
little
little boat
sailor
caps.
caps.
They're super cute.
Yeah.
I liked them. I liked them a lot.
Yeah.
All right, and then let's look at this Metascore. It got an 80, which is very good.
Oh my God, I'm gonna read this trivia on the top here.
Oh, okay.
It is sad. Okay, instead of having two sons, the character played by Mads Mikkelsen was originally meant to have a son and a daughter, the latter to be played by director Thomas Vinterberg's daughter, Ida Maria Vinterberg. However, Ida was killed in a car crash in Belgium 4 days into filming before she was planned to film her scenes. The film is dedicated to her. Oh my God.
What?
That's
Oh my
so
gosh.
sad.
That's
I'm also
heartbreaking.
going to read this trivia. Denmark has some of the highest rates of teenage drinking in the world. A World Health Organization report released earlier in 2020 found that Danish 15-year-olds consumed alcohol at nearly double the European average. Recent efforts to raise the minimum wage for purchasing alcohol from 18 to 18 from 16 have met with resistance, in part because older adults recalled their own youthful intoxication so fondly. Oh my god.
Oh. Oh god.
See, that's what it is, like the culture. It's like so ingrained in there. They're like, no, we want it. We want this happiness. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow, okay. Alright, let's take a look at these.
Oh, can I just read another one? I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, it says, according to Mads Mikkelsen, there was not any alcohol involved on shooting days. Yet offset, there was some experimentation on what specifically would happen at 0.05 to 0.08%, and there was an even a little boot camp to monitor how speech and movements changed. But for the next crazy Chaplin level, before the next crazy Charlie Chaplin level, the team watched a lot of YouTube videos.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other fun looking trivia?
No.
All right. Looking at these Metascores, it got an 80.
Pretty high.
It had 26 positive reviews and 3 mixed reviews. The lowest being a 40. So I'm going to read that one. Mm-hmm. Variety gave it a 40. Another Round is the kind of movie that's so into its cool concept that it doesn't sweat the details, yet the film's sloppy broadness ends up fighting the dogma style, which keeps telling us that these people are authentic. I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah.
All right, Owen.
Owen Gleiberman.
Definitely don't agree with that. That doesn't make any sense. You need to rethink your job career. All right.
I'll read the playlist 83. There are not funny moments or dramatic moments for their characters. There are simply human moments. Whether people react to them with laughter, pity, or some combination of them, both may say more about themselves than the film. Oh my god, that's exactly what I said.
Like what you were saying, dude. Dude.
Wish I was a better writer over here. Messing up all the time.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. Any other standout to us, or should we move on?
Let's move on to a more depressing film. Pieces of a Woman.
Yes. All right. Moving on.
So when
again, this one was only nominated
for Best Actress.
For Best Actress.
Yep.
Yes.
When did you watch this movie? I wanna ask that.
Last night.
Okay, me too.
Okay.
So it's pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh. Actually, one weird tidbit about Another Round was, so Easter was a little bit of a busy day for me, and I watched it on Easter. Really? I kind of knew Pieces of a Woman was going to be sad, and I had actually planned on watching Pieces of a Woman on Sunday, but I'm glad I changed it to Another Round. But I had to watch the first hour of Another Round before going to my family's for Easter, and then watch it, like 9 hours later, finish it.
Yeah.
Finish the other half of it.
We gotta do what we gotta do, man.
I'm just trying to get the shit done. But yeah, watched Piece of a Woman last night, all the way through. But yes, so we have I really liked the beginning of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like with the pregnancy and giving birth. I really like that scene.
In one take, too.
Yeah. I really liked it. So we have character Martha, Vanessa Kirby's character. She is pregnant, very, very prego in the beginning of the movie. And I think they're first seen like buying a car or something, or she's at like a baby shower or something at work.
Yeah.
Like a going away
mm-hmm.
baby shower. Maybe it's her last day at work. She's about to leave.
Mm-hmm.
and then she's going to pick up a car, and then very shortly after we have the giving birth scene.
Yeah. At
and
home, in
no
their
idea
apartment.
Shia LaBeouf was in this movie. No idea.
Really? You didn't even know?
That was a surprise.
Oh.
Again, I really have not been looking into any of these. I've just been watching them.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
I don't look at the IMDb pages. I don't watch any trailers. So much to where I've only been looking up the IMDb pages to make sure that these are the movies that are nominated.
Right.
Like, that's the only, just to confirm that these are the movies that I need to be watching.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for this, so I knew it was going to happen. Because it was in the trailer, basically.
Oh,
you know,
was it one of those?
Well,
was it one of those trailers that gives everything away?
Well, the whole movie is her the loss of her daughter. That's the point of the movie.
Right.
So it's like you can't really make a trailer about this
without knowing, like, maybe what's going to happen.
Yeah. But I knew that Shia LaBeouf was in it, and he had recently had a. Like before the year was up, allegations against him and a court case by his ex-girlfriend FK Twigs, who accused him of abuse and just being a general douchebag. So he's not had a good rap, and it's not been going good, and it's so this movie kind of had a hard time with putting it out there, but of course, they're just kind of pushing the really excellent performance by Vanessa Kirby because she is the entire movie. And it's like, I mean, Shia LaBeouf is very good as well in his own way. But she is the one who shines the most, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, but gosh, it's so sad. Like, it's so sad to me that Shia LaBeouf just... is such a shitty person. Like, it's just like, you can't like dismiss it, and it's just like, it's so upsetting to me. Like, I don't want him to be such a shitty person, but he is.
Yeah. And I think it's sad. I think it's sad for us. I mean, I never really cared less about Shia LaBeouf. I mean, like, yeah, I used to watch Even Stevens and he was funny and whatever, but We were kind of excited about his, like, comeback, like when Honey Boy came out, and we're like, okay, he's turning it around, you know, he's been kind of weird, you know, for the past like decade,
and he's
turning it around, he's getting back out there, he's doing some decent work, and then like these allegations, you're just like, okay, whatever, I'm not rooting for you anymore.
Yeah, no, dude, man, like, you can't be doing that shit, man. You can't be abusing your girlfriend. That is not cool. Like, it's not good. So
yeah, I will say that there was a bit much of Shia LaBeouf that I could have done without.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in this movie.
Yeah, he was
like, I was like, oh, did I have to see that?
His character also was he was abusive too. Like, and the way that he dealt with the loss of his daughter was like aggression, and you know, like a lot of men do turn to aggression, because that's just kind of their emotion. Like, it's unfortunate that's how it happens, but he just, and especially in that scene where he was like, I miss you, and then he made her touch his penis, and then he was like getting, like, pulling her pants off, trying to pull her pants off, trying to have sex with her. It was such a hard scene to watch. It was so crazy.
God.
It was like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, you two are not a good couple. Like, you need to not be near each other. You need to not be together. Like, you are not communicating. You are not respecting each other in any way. Like, it just was so, like, you know, they had gone through something so horrible and they didn't know how to process it. So they just, like, just shut down as humans. They were just like, no, like, absolutely
and
not.
I especially didn't appreciate, like, what the mother was doing as well.
Oh, 100%,
like, how she was pushing for this trial and for her to just, I was like, she's very interested in her apple saplings. Like, can you just, like, leave her alone? Like, and just let her deal with it the way that she needs to deal with it. Like,
yeah, but you know, it's the older generation and it was the contrast between the older generation not understanding the concept of, like, needing to grieve on their own, needing to do what they think is necessary to grieve and to overcome something like this, this terrible loss. And the older generations kind of had to keep pushing, as Ellen Burstyn says in her like little tiny monologue that was a little bit out of place in this movie, about how when she was a baby that she just like fought for her life, you know, because she was in the gulag and she was, you know, a Jewish girl in the middle of the Holocaust, had to fight like tooth and nail for herself to live, right? And it's like,
yeah, basically,
yeah, so like the older generations just like didn't have time to be to grieve or to feel the time to like grieve and to like not put it into themselves and stress themselves out and kill themselves. You know what I mean? It's like there's so many different waves of how we think now about mental health and just like how now today we're still grappling with the kind of backwards push it so hard, just like push it all down kind of mentality that people had to live with when it was really hard, you know, like when you're in those situations. So I like that, but it just, yeah, it was kind of like, it was an interesting mosaic, this movie. It was just a lot of like different scenes showing us about Vanessa Kirby's experience after this and Shia LaBeouf's experience and...
Yeah, like things kind of randomly being thrown in here and there and then just kind of like falling into place by the end. Like it's just... It's because, you know, like Shia LaBeouf is meeting with the cousin who's like this hot lawyer and ends up like sleeping with her. And, you know, Martha's kind of going out drinking and, you know, hooking up with other people. And they're just like that. You could see them kind of just getting further and further apart. I really did like watching Vanessa Kirby, like with her apples and seeing the cute like connection with apples at the end, like, you know, when her baby was first born, she smelled like apples and then she wanted to sprout some apple seeds and hopefully make some apple trees, and just kind of seeing all those things kind of connect, things kind of made sense when you were watching Vanessa Kirby, and everyone else just kind of muddied things, it seemed to me.
I think in that way it was like the screenplay, I felt like the dialogue was a little bit lacking. Just because like Vanessa Kirby didn't really say a lot, to be honest, until like the end. She only kind of raised her voice a few times, and it was mostly her performance was so quietly strong, and I really enjoyed that about it. Because, like, then it kind of gave you time to be really annoyed by Shia LaBeouf because he just was the only one who was actually talking. And just, like, other people around her were talking a lot and they were all really annoying and horrible. But all in all, though, I thought it was a good movie. Like, I thought it was just really well done in terms of her grieving and just... how somebody would grieve in this situation. And it was written by this Hungarian writer, Kata Weber, who also, I think she also experienced something very similar to this movie where she lost her baby after a difficult birth. So, you know, it was kind of based on that and also like another... a case where a woman, I think it was in Hungary, where one of the midwives was tried for, you know, her
negligence
losses.
Or something.
Yeah, like, exactly. So I think it was kind of based on that.
I was surprised at how big the trial got. Like, they were seeing it on the news, I was almost unsure, like, I didn't know that this was happening, like, just after, you know, when the baby started turning blue and the midwife, like, takes it back and the ambulance is there, like, it kind of goes dark and then you, like, don't even really know what happens until you kind of you're hearing about civil cases and court cases.
And
you know, she's going back to work and she's, like, telling someone that, like, you know, you're in my you're in my office
seat. Yeah, and everybody's staring at her.
Oh, everyone's like staring at her, and I'm like, horrible. Oh, something bad must have happened. And I was like, oh, the baby, she must have lost the baby.
Yeah. Oh.
And then kind of hearing about this case. So I guess the case, was this the one? So because of her incident, the case like began, or was this lady like being charged with negligence like a few times? Like, I was surprised at just how big it got. I was like, oh, this lady must have been negligent with a few.
I think it was several. Think it was like a couple of them. And I think it was like a kind of rolling thing. The actress who played the midwife was also really good. She frustrated me, especially at the very beginning. And I think she's supposed to, you know, when she's in the scene helping her give birth, she's not talking to her enough. Like, I felt like she was being too quiet, and I felt like she was not communicating enough to the woman, like to Martha. And felt like she was really unsteady, and she was really like not confident in her abilities at the time. And I was like, you know, when you're watching it, you have to form your own opinion about this person, but she just didn't seem confident to me. And it's just like, you need to have somebody who's really confident in their choices, especially if it's going to be a midwife, you know. It needs to be like, it needs to be clear, and they need to be communicating with you about what's going on with you and your body.
Some sort of like de-escalation practices with the pregnant, with the lady who's pregnant and in labor.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't help. I mean, at least to me, that Martha was kind of like fighting her the whole time. Like, I'm not going to go to the hospital. I don't want you here. Where's Barbara?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. It was all kind of messy. And, you know, when the baby's born, you're like, okay, it must be fine. And, you know, the baby's crying, and then, mm-hmm. you know, a complication happens. And, you know, I was talking to Kimmy about it a lot. I was like, so are midwives just certified to get the baby out, or do they kind of know how to handle complications like this once it's done? How far does their expertise go?
Well, they come in varying degrees, but I think midwives definitely pride themselves on being very knowledgeable and knowing what to do in all sorts of situations. And I think with this one, she just didn't do the right thing. She didn't make the right choices, right? She didn't call the ambulance when she should have, which might have saved the baby, you know? I think it's also, you also don't really know, because they couldn't conclude why the baby died. It could have been because of a long labor. It could have been for a number of reasons, right? So it's a little bit difficult because, like, every labor is different. Every person is different. And a lot of people feel comfortable giving birth at home, and they trust midwives to be there because they've had a lot of experience and stuff in giving birth to babies in homes. So I think it just depends. And in this case, it just didn't work out. And so we don't know if it's the midwife's fault. We don't know if the baby just was, you know, something was wrong. Like, maybe the cord was wrapped around its neck or something. I don't know. And that's why the oxygen didn't work. It could have been so many other things. And who knows, even if she was in a hospital, that this wouldn't have happened either. But because she had it at home, and, you know, they don't, especially with the courts and everything, it's really, really messy, and it's really hard to tell, you know, what the right answer is. And the truth is, there's no right answer. The baby's gone. And that's what, you know, Vanessa Kirby has to, like, come to at the end of the movie. It's just, like, nothing's going to bring this baby back anyway, you know?
Yeah. I also kind of found it interesting how this family was just kind of everywhere. Like, I mm-hmm. wonder why, the choice to have, you know, the sister's husband be working at the car dealership selling cars to Martha and Sean, and then, you know, having the cousin be a lawyer, and just having everything, like, be super in the family.
That's so true.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Yeah, because when you first meet Chris, like, you don't know that
he's a brother-in-law, right?
Yeah, that he's a brother-in-law, and then, you know, Sean's going back afterwards and, like, kind of threatening him almost. And I'm like, does he know Chris? And then finally, by the time they have the dinner, it's like, oh, they're together. Like, so he is in the family, and it's just, it's I don't know, it was very interesting. It was weird how they would kind of give you bits of information, kind of like if you needed it. It's like, yeah,
Yeah.
Chris was in the family the whole time, whether you cared or not. Here's the tie-in and completely, like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I thought that was a little interesting.
Well, they had like a clearly dysfunctional family to begin with, and
Yeah.
like, I don't know, just Shia LaBeouf's character just was such a shitty guy. Like, he just was so aggressive, and he was very like, he did not like the family to begin with, which is fine, but it's like he was very aggressive and also defensive a lot of the time. Like, his entire personality was him just being super defensive, you know, and it was
Yeah.
it's so like, it's so hard to like him. Like, you're not supposed to like him, but I just, it's really hard to see what their relationship was ever. You know, like, did they ever have a
Yeah, like, were they
relationship?
ever
I
happy? Yeah, were they
know.
ever happy? How did this kind of come to be? I mean, they weren't married. Like,
No.
the second the baby was gone, they just kind of went their separate ways. This could be tied to another round as kind of being like a realistic look at the human being, like kind of seeing how Sean was an interesting character
Yeah.
study to kind of look at, because you can kind of see, you know, he used to be an alcoholic. He used to drink. He would probably like substance abuse, taking drugs, and you know, he was turning things around
Yeah.
for, you know, his soon to be daughter coming into this world, you know, getting a job and being on top of shit. And,
Yeah.
you know, but because this miracle was coming into his life, he was going to turn his life around, and then just as easily losing that and losing that motivation, seeing someone spiral.
Yep. And like turning back to drinking, turning back to smoking, like,
Yeah, and definitely not dealing with these with their problems like the right way, like the healthy way. Just kind of
yeah,
becoming
it's
distant and
yeah.
not talking to each other. I mean, I did like seeing Sean get emotional, because maybe he was trying to reach out to Martha,
I
but
think he
like she really
was,
wasn't
but
helping
she
either.
was.
You know, he's like, let me know what you're thinking. You know, I miss you. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to be there for you. Like, I want to mourn our child. And then the whole discussion of donating the baby's body to a university instead of, you know, burying, was kind of a tough thing too, because, you know, the mom wanted one thing, Sean wanted another thing, and, you know, I don't really know what was going through Martha's mind. She was just like, I think she was more on the side of like, let's see if possibly what happened to my baby could help see what could happen to other babies. Like, this situation could happen again. I don't know.
I think,
She
like, to me, she just kind of wanted to forget about it. Like, I think she wanted
maybe,
to push it away.
possibly.
And then, like, at the end of the movie, she was coming more to the conclusion, like, oh, I was longing for those apples. I was longing for the connection of this baby that I tried to forget. And you could tell when she was on the witness stand and they were asking her about what her baby was like. She had to remember, and she did not remember because she like forced herself to forget and forced herself to just
Yeah.
like push it down. And I think that that's what she was
Yeah.
doing like the whole movie. She was just like, she was pushing it away, pushing the memory of her down so much that she didn't, so she could forget about her basically in order to like not
Yeah.
feel the pain that she was gonna feel if she let herself mourn for the baby.
Right.
And you know, we got like pretty much all of that incredible, you know, it's in the incredible performance of Vanessa Kirby. Like, I think she really, really put it forward to what she was feeling and how horrible it must be to go through this and just like not like trying not to mourn for somebody and trying not to mourn for things and but still like seeing children around you, and it's just, it's so sad, this movie. It's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. It was sad.
Yeah. which is, you know, why it was successful, and it's good to see movies about an experience of a woman on this earth, you know? I really enjoy it because I think it's really, like, rare that we see movies like this about women who lose their babies like this, and
yeah.
And I think it was really well done. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Vanessa Kirby did a fantastic job. Great job, Vanessa.
Yeah. She rocks. I love her so much as Princess Margaret in The Crown.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She's fantastic.
Right, let's take a look at these plot keywords. We've got childbirth, long take, grief, marriage, sorrow.
Yeah, they don't marry, but okay. I don't know why
they didn't. They don't.
They're not together.
I don't know.
Like, they're not married.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it got a 66 Metascore, still in the green.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
It got a 100 by The Playlist. I'll just read this. Weber's writing and Kirby's performance working in concert with Mondrusco's dazzling, multifaceted direction, Howard Shore's gorgeously mood-appropriate score, and again, Loeb's drifting, searching, soulful camera together create, from so many disparate pieces, an entirely complete portrait that even suggests further internal universes still to be explored, universes every one of us contains. Wow, she really liked this movie.
Yeah, there were 27 positive reviews, 12 mixed reviews, and 2 negative. I didn't see any of the negatives on there, so I'm gonna scroll on down here. Ooh, okay, let's see. We've got, so one person gave it a 30, another person gave it a 37, but the 37 is a little bit longer of a snippet, so I'm gonna read this one. The Washington Post gave it a 37. Vanessa Kirby delivers a bravura. I'm assuming that means good performance in Pieces of a Woman. In fact, her performance is so commanding, uncompromising, and far-ranging that it often threatens to swallow this otherwise uneven and frustratingly thin movie with one voracious gulp.
Wow.
Damn. Wow.
Did they mean Glenn Close and Hillbilly Elegy?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Damn.
I kind of want to read one of the mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, let's see.
So extreme here.
I know. So extreme. Let's see. I'm going to read this one from The Guardian. The Guardian gave it a 60. Viewed as an acting masterclass, the film is bruisingly impressive in its way. The principal actors raise the roof. Each gets to do their big turn for the camera, but it feels a little schooled, a little staged, a little workshop at the actor's studio. Or like a workshop at the actor's studio.
I mean, I would say that is because of the dialogue. Like, I just felt like I just didn't think the dialogue was, like, super strong.
Like, no.
I think that's what it would be. The problem is the dialogue.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, especially that monologue from the mother was very out of place.
That was so weird. That whole scene. Whole scene in the house was like, I get the tension and I understand the like uncomfortable conversation between like Benny Safdie and Shia LaBeouf. Like that was just like, it was weird. They were definitely like completely just improvising that conversation about the White Stripes. It was just so weird. It just was like, why are we having, what is going on? Like, you choose this moment to be like, okay, let's have these two characters connect, even though they literally have nothing in common, sure. But
the
whole like tension, like the what's going on by the sister who's played by Eliza Scherzinger, if you didn't notice, just like asking the mom questions and it just not like nobody giving an answer, like it was just like so strict, like who are these people? Do they exist in the same universe?
Yeah.
Are they family?
No one really had like chemistry with each other. Like
yeah,
it was just the family. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like
Yeah.
Well, that's why it got a 66.
Yeah, exactly,
But yes, Vanessa Kirby, great job on your nomination. Good luck at the Oscars.
Yeah, really good performance. Really good.
Very good.
She carried the movie, in fact.
She sure did. She really did.
Yeah.
Much like Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah.
Well, no, Amy Adams did a good job too.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I think that about does it for this episode. This was Pieces of a Woman and Another Round. If you enjoyed either of these movies, please let us know. You can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You can also let us know in the comments section of either SoundCloud or Facebook. Just search All By The Popcorn and like our pages. If you want to rate and review our show, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We're also now on Spotify, if that's where you prefer to listen to your podcasts. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, please follow our social media. We have Twitter at By The Popcorn and Instagram at All By The Popcorn Podcast. We also have merch, and we have a YouTube page. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to our channel. And that is it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.